Listen, we were talking about this in full before the pandemic went full bloom in March, and helping me along the way in tremendous fashion. Gary Jacobs, and he was right at the forefront of it all, did a tremendous job. Gary, of course, president of Americans for Legal Reform, and good to have him back, sir. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Jay. Thanks for keeping this in the light. I was happy when you decided to cover this again.
We're never going to stop because we need answers. You got all kinds of investigations, although I'm not happy with that. We'll get into that in a second. Civic legislature has been on this thing. You got a lawsuit brewing from the mother, Justina. But the fact of the matter is, things are going to heat up again, Gary. That's a fact, and we need some answers here, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really think that, you know, a lot of these people involved, you know, they sort of caught a break when the COVID came. And, you know, we have a short memory here in general, you know, Americans, we move on to the next issue. The court was, the press was talking about it every time Justina had a court date. We were talking about the Suffolk County Legislature and their investigation and their committees. But Justina had court, I believe, twice last week. And not one member of the press didn't, not only did they not show up, they didn't even cover it. But, you know, the good thing is that we have people like you who are covering it. And actually what Justina has done, which I think is a great idea, is gone straight to the public. She started doing Facebook Live videos with a fellow advocate of mine, James Kelly, and he comes to the court with her, and she's been going straight to the public. And if you listen to this woman, you would be horrified because she was quiet up until a few weeks ago. She would make a few statements, but not really get into details. And Jay, if you saw what she showed last week at her press conference that she did with James Kelly in front of the Suffolk County DA's office, as disgusted as people were before, they would be absolutely horrified. And her claims are still that the corruption is still very deep, which I believe it absolutely is, and that the county is still covering up the real problem. It seems like the county says, okay, the boy is gone, he's passed away. Now, you know, we'll do a little smoke and mirrors, we'll put on some committees. But really, has anything changed, Jay? I'm involved in this every day at Americans for Legal Reform. I can tell you, nothing at all has changed. It is as bad as it was before. And to me, this reminds me of our issue with Spoda, right, where everybody knew that Spoda was corrupt. Everybody knew that we had a few bad cops on Long Island, but nobody did anything for, what, 15, 20, probably 20 years, right? Nobody did anything about it until, you know, they ended up beating up, the one kid, and he came forward after jail, and somebody finally believed him. What is it going to take to stop this? It's still going on, and I'm telling you, unless you're involved in this thing, you would not believe how bad it is. If you hear the stories that I hear about the corruption in CPS and the court system here on Long Island, but specifically Suffolk County, worse than ever, it's constant. They just appointed a new chief judge, Judge Hinrichs, who was absolutely horrible, corrupt. Obviously, he was part of the
bench.
Can't say he didn't know about what was going on, right? People have been complaining about him. He's probably got a file cabinet full of complaint letters where he sends a form letter to everybody, blowing them off. So now they put in a new chief judge who's been in the system for probably, I think he's been there for more than 20 years. He's no different. He's part of the problem, and now he's the administrative judge for Suffolk County. Does that sound like somebody who wants to make changes in the system? Absolutely not. It's the same thing. And we're going to talk about the legislative committee also looking into this. That's a sham also.
Well, you know, listen, to me, Gary, we're talking with Gary Jacobs on the Valva situation. To me, it's about ineptitude. And, you know, when I think of ineptitude, I think of PSEG Long Island, you know, because it's the correlation is on the same level here. OK, because it takes a tragedy like what happened to young Thomas for people to come to the forefront as it's taking PSEG Long Island to recognize their foibles. And there are plenty, because if we haven't learned anything from Sandy, and look what's going on right now, right? But it's in the same realm of how we look at the Valva case with the 8 million times that CPS went to the door of the Valva household and left. You know, and even to the likes, you know, you bring up the judges here. What about Hope Schwartz-Zimmerman, or as I call her, no hope, Hope Schwartz-Zimmerman, because wasn't she the judge there who Gary, you know, didn't recognize the crying out of the mother, Justina Zubkovalva, crying out so many times, so much evidence. And she felt that it was best to ignore. And by the way, she stepped away, if I'm not mistaken. I believe she retired early and for good reason, thank goodness, if you base it on the elements of this ongoing saga. But it's about the overall word here, Gary Jacobs, is ineptitude. It's a word that can go all the way around here.
You hit the nail on the head, but likewise, but where it's been going on for so many years, PSE&G. So many years. So we have a bad storm. We have Sandy. Everybody cries for change. Then we move on. So what do they do? So now we have, you know, another bad storm, right? So now all the legislators come out on the news, say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Let's do an investigation. But I really believe that this is a farce. The corruption is so deep on Long Island. And if you really wanted change, wouldn't Judge Zimmerman have been off the bench a week later? When a police officer is alleged of doing something wrong and you believe that there's a possibility, immediately they either take them off the job and give them a desk job so they can't hurt anybody else, right? Or they'll totally suspend them without pay. Judge Hope Schwartz-Zimmerman sat on the freaking bench for a while, and then she was still doing conferences and making decisions. You know, nobody did anything about it. Why? Who was in charge of Judge Zimmerman? Was it the Chief Janet T. Fiore of New York State? Was it the Judicial Review Board? I personally know, Jay, that these people had complaints about Judge Zimmerman. I had done shows about Judge Zimmerman and Americans for Legal Reform and Long Island Backstory. There is no secret. Nobody can say this came out of nowhere. And just like now we're talking about it, there are other children on Long Island being abused, and CPS is missing it. There are parents being abused in the family court system every single day on Long Island, and it's being missed. Nobody is doing anything about it, and now they put a new administrative judge who's as bad as the last one. And the last one, he goes away with a fanfare and a party, and he was a great judge, and he'll probably get some other political hack job, you know, that they'll appoint him. This shouldn't be political. If anything on Long Island shouldn't be political, it shouldn't be CPS and the court system. I mean, come on, it's so deep here on Long Island. They wonder why people are running. You know, they're running on Long Island. They can't get away fast enough. I mean, if you get involved in this system, you would not believe how bad it is. And people get a taste of it, unfortunately, you know, with the divorce rate being about 50%. So, you know, maybe 50% of us end up in the family court system here on Long Island. And just getting a glimpse of it, you see how bad the system is, how rude the judges are, you know. And there's good ones. Of course, I don't want to say all of them because people are going to call up and say, well, I had a good one. But you know what? The good ones don't rise to the top on Long Island. It's just like the cops, the bad cops, which obviously there's a hell of a lot of good cops, more good than bad, right? But who rises to the top here on Long Island? James Burke, the worst one. Who rises to the top in the Attorney General's office? Thomas Spoda. Who rises to the head of corruption? I mean, you can go down the list. The crap rises to the top on Long Island for some reason. And it's just ongoing. I look at the legislature. You know, you have on the, they want to do an investigation or a committee to see what they can do to change CPS. Well, wouldn't you think that the right thing to do would be to ask people who experience CPS and at least claiming that they did the wrong thing? So what do? They put a legislator who I believe was a printer before he became a legislator, and then he's been in politics. Nothing wrong with being a printer or a politician. But what does he know about CPS, right? If he talks about complaints, he didn't do anything about it before. Then they put a lawyer on Long Island who's a family court lawyer. Well, he's certainly part of the problem, right? Because these are the guys who make money the more they stay into court. And then they put other two legislators who are part of the Democratic Party, you know, appointees. But meanwhile, you have somebody on the legislature. You have a police officer, a former police officer, who was in the FBI for 10 years and maybe a police officer for another 10 or 15 years, Rob Trotta. Where is he? Why isn't he on the committee? What do these people know about investigations, Jay, as much as me? I don't know how to investigate somebody.
Say this. Let me say this. These investigations are bogus anyway. I mean,
of course,
look what's going on as far as the nursing home disaster. And who's leading the investigation? Department of Health.
Like me. Right.
How could you investigate your very own self? CPS leading the way in this case. CPS leading the investigation. Are you kidding me?
Is that unbelievable?
The whole thing is...
Unbelievable. You're right. CPS is the one because I think the outside agencies can't get in until CPS investigates. Well, what do you think CPS is going to come up with, Jay? Investigating themselves. It's the most, I mean, we know in history this hasn't worked. So why would you say, well, we have to do this first? Well, what happens if another child dies or gets abused while they're waiting for this investigation, which how many months has it been already and it's still not done? Well, we know what they're going to come up with. Oh, we need, you know what they're going to come up with, Jay? We need more money. That's what they're going to come up with. Give us more money. Nobody's going to be responsible. No heads roll. No management's going to change. This whole thing needs to be, I mean, talk about you defund the police. How about defund CPS and retrain it? Start it from the bottom and build it back up. Because when the corruption is deep and you are, if you don't change the people at the top, you're not, you're putting a Band-Aid. You know, yes, the worker, I give, you know, the worker should be held responsible for what she did, but the management's the one who let it happen. You know, it always goes to the management, and the management hasn't changed there. They made excuses for what happened, but I'm telling you, it has not changed. The corruption is there. Where's cameras? Why aren't they saying we need cameras on our investigators when they go to these people's homes, like a police officer? You know, you don't have to put it out to the public, but at least if there's a question as to what was said, it's recorded. Is there drug testing for the CPS workers? Is there psychological testing for them? You know, to me, one of the biggest things, there should be an oversight committee where who do you go to complain? If you're on Long Island and you believe CPS didn't do the right thing, who do you go to? You have to go to CPS because we already said the legislature's not allowed to get involved. The police can't get involved. So you have to go to the person who you're alleging made the complaint. We all know that doesn't work. If you want real change, how about an independent committee that you can go to that has some oversight when you believe there's corruption? But unless you change it at the top, this is going to go on. And, Jay, there is...
Gary, I agree with you. You know, and I've been calling for independent investigations. You know, you can't have someone investigating thy own self when they're involved here. I said that all along. You know, even with the nursing home stuff. You must have... and independent. That's the way it is, hands down. And to me, you know, I don't want to hear about, well, we're going to train more people, we're going to hire more CPS and everything else. Come on. No. And because one is overloaded in cases, well, where was that depiction years ago? I mean, you had staff that was completely, I mean, if somebody has 20 to 25 cases per, that's a lot of cases, don't you think? Why didn't we do something about it the way back? You know, why can't we fund things properly here? And I understand money and everything else is at the forefront here, but you got somebody's life in danger. Why should somebody check out a home 15 times and walk away from that home? How do you have the mindset? How do you live with yourself knowing that the calls were made and everything else? Check out that home. You have an 8-year-old there. You have a 10-year-old there whose life could be in danger. And you don't do anything about it. It's unbelievable. It's unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Listen, you know, we say that they may have been overworked. We don't give doctors a free pass, do we? You know, we all know doctors, you know, that they're overworked. They work long hours. We're in the hospital. We don't say, ah, you know what? The guy, he missed cancer. It's okay. He was overworked. He was tired that night. It's not an excuse when lives, or it shouldn't be an excuse anyway, but when lives are at risk and this possible child abuse, it's not an excuse to me to say I'm overworked. And as you said, Jay, if it's true and they were so overworked that they just couldn't do their job, why wasn't the head of CPS going to the legislature and saying, guys, I can't do my job? Why didn't they document it? I can't do my job. I'm overworked. We need to look into it and see where the problems are. They didn't. This is a bullcrap excuse that they're using for what judges do the same thing here in Suffolk County. Look at my caseload. I have so many cases. So, I mean, Judge Zimmerman, I think, told Justina, I believe, to shut her mouth and not say anything in a hearing where they were talking about taking away her children. You're telling me the judge didn't have 5 minutes to listen to Justina, who was about to have her children removed when she was making allegations of child abuse, and the judge would say, well, I was busy. I didn't have 5 minutes extra to listen to her. That's insanity. That's negligence. I don't care. You know what? Stay 5 minutes later after work, Jay. Stay 5 minutes like everybody else in the world has to do. You have a job. You make sure your job gets done. You know, there's no excuse to say, well, we were overworked. I also don't really buy the story that they're all so overworked, because if you don't put the cases away and do the right thing, yeah, your caseloads build up. The court system here in Suffolk County, they complain about the caseload, but they let divorce cases sit in the court for 3 years. You can file a motion here and be in court for 2 to 3 years on single motion because the judges don't do their job. They just think people are going to go away. The cases will get settled. If you did your job, you wouldn't be so busy. Now the courts weren't open for so long, so now they're going to be more backed up. You know, there's no excuse.
It's a lack of doing your job. Come on.
No,
police responded. Listen, I remember the story in March when it broke. Police responded. I think it was 30 calls over 4 years from these so-called parent in Thomas Valva, the father there, right? Michael Valva, excuse me. 33 calls. That's what it was. 33 calls over 4 years, okay, that were fielded by police. And it ranged, by the way, child abuse allegations, disputes over, visitation. And these calls came in. It was during a time period in which prosecutors now say the boy was being beaten, was being starved, was kept in the cold garage, right? Punishment, remember? Urinated in his pants, went to school. They had, the squishing sound in the sneakers. It was disgusting. You know what? Everybody at fault here. Everybody at fault. And it takes a tragedy.
Sexual abuse. Jay, you talked about when we did this a couple months ago about the allegations of sexual abuse. Justine has been pushing for the district attorney's office to investigate the sexual abuse allegations. She feels like she's getting nowhere with them. And I think their feeling must be, the boy is dead. If we miss more, there's going to be a bigger lawsuit, and we're going to look like we're more incompetent. So let's just leave it that the father was a bad guy and move on. They know they're going to get sued. As you mentioned, there's a lawsuit pending. But Justina showed pictures, and if anybody wants to see what her children drew, pictures with their therapy as part of the therapist. And again, she posted them on, his name is James Kelly. He did a Facebook video in front of the courthouse this week, where she held up pictures that her son made depicting things being put in their boys' anuses. But they're not talking about sexual abuse. She's begging them to investigate the sexual abuse because she doesn't want this to happen to other children and get missed again. She's trying to help this, prevent this, but she's being shunned. She's being blown off, like this didn't happen. And if anybody sees these pictures, and I'm not a psychologist, but that something's seriously wrong. Something was seriously going wrong. If you see these pictures that her two surviving children are drawing in their therapy sessions, and I'm sure she didn't want to go public with this because it's upsetting, and you can see, obviously, it's emotional, but she has no choice. They're still not listening to her at the DA's office. They're still ignoring what she said. Wouldn't you think now you would say, this woman probably knows what she's talking about. She basically called everything that happened. They're still blowing her off. What about the sexual? Remember, you talked about it on your show. There's the first I heard about money being put into the father's account. Mysteriously, they don't know where the money came from. Why aren't we talking about that? Where that money? Because maybe that would lead to other children who are being sexually abused. But to me, it's like, hey, on Long Island, we're just going to let it go and we'll move on and we won't change anything. The county is going to probably have to pay a very big lawsuit settlement, right? And then it doesn't come out of anybody's pocket. Nobody loses their job. So it's business as usual. Same thing as Thomas Foda. Same thing as these horrible judges. You can go online and see the same judges in Nassau and Suffolk County, the same bad judges over and over and over again. It's not all the judges that are being listed. There's probably five judges that they're being listed. You can Google them. These are the ones who are going to be the next Tommy Valva. They're going to cause the next problem. And what about the suicide that's caused by the court system and the depression that's caused by it and the children who don't die, but they're abused and they have a lifetime of damages because they were abused? It's going on every single day here. Every day in Suffolk County, it's going on. It didn't stop because Thomas Valva died. In my opinion, it didn't even change one bit, Jay. Not one bit.
Listen, let me say this in summation, because for those who might have read that Justina Zupka-Valva, listen, she was no Girl Scout either. I get that. Okay, she might have had some improprieties in her background, but let me say this: if you are stripping custody of these kids from their mother, and you are awarding temporary custody of these boys to the father, and this was, if memory serves me correct, that was around 2017. Let's not forget, you have incidents over a four-year period in which CPS went to that home, okay? So even after Justina wasn't even in the picture as far as custody was concerned, the transactions that took place with this father, Michael Valver, and his fiance, who was it, Polina, Angela Polina, I mean, they were still out there. But to fail to recognize here what occurred is going to be a big portion of what goes forward as far as this so-called investigation. And that's the thing, people. You know, to me, Gary, I'll say this, I'll give you the final word here. To me, it's about the timeline. You got to look at the timeline involved here. You know, everybody wants facts and metrics and numbers and everything else. Look at the timeline involved here when custody was stripped and these calls were still going as far as what CPS made to this home over 4 years from 15 to 19. Go ahead.
If you can recognize such a severe case of child abuse as happened in this case, what about the cases that aren't as bad as this, where maybe the person, you know, hitting children with a belt or tying them up or not feeding them or mentally abusing them? If you couldn't find a case where teachers were calling up and complaining about the children going to school soaked in urine and the mother was giving actual telling them, here is what's happening, and yet CPS still couldn't get that case, what do you think about all the other cases that are going on all over the island where the abuse is not as dramatic as that? They're sure as hell not going to catch that. And again, this goes on every day. And you mentioned, I know we don't have a lot of time, but you mentioned something very important when you just said, when they took away temporary custody and gave it to the father. You can run into these courts here in Suffolk County and ask for temporary custody with allegations. They'll strip custody from a parent in probably a three-minute conference. They'll take it away and give you a court date 6 weeks away, which will be adjourned. I think in Justina's case, it went on for years. But certainly, it's not uncommon for it to go once a month. How they take this so lightly, like you said, stripping custody. Imagine all your listeners who have children listening to that, stripping custody. They wouldn't believe that you could walk into a court in Nassau or Suffolk County, make an allegation, they'll strip custody. Okay, listen, you have to take it. You have to do something when somebody makes an allegation. But you don't then just let it go on for months and months. You let it go maybe 2 days, 3 days. You get back into court, and now there has to be proof, and there has to be an investigation. And if the person made a false allegation, there needs to be some consequences for it, because on Long Island here, we don't prosecute perjury when it comes to family court. You can say whatever you want. Any family court lawyer will tell you there's nothing they can do about it. But I take it very seriously when you take away custody from a parent and give it to another parent, and you lose your parental rights to see your child. To me, that is very serious, and you shouldn't have a caseworker who's got a two-year college degree, probably not even in this, but I think CPS testified that they had a 30 or 40-hour training program. I don't remember the exact thing. And that person can make a decision whether a child's life is in danger? When we have police officers who go to four-year college and then are constantly trained to do investigations, right? Because people could be murdered. So they have real training ability. You don't have a two-year degree with very little training make a decision whether a child's life is in danger. It's insanity. It's gross incompetence. It's going on, and it needs to change. It's going to happen again if we don't have...
Say that. We always say it needs to change, but it never does on a timely manner, I'll tell you that much. And it takes a tragedy. You know, the only hope, like I said, is it doesn't happen again, because we've shed light on this. But then again, do I have faith? Did I have faith in our utility after Superstorm Sandy, October 2012? No. I didn't really have a lot of faith, because it took a storm like this to bring out the weaknesses of what we're going through now. Gary, always a pleasure. We'll stay on this. We will stay on this in a big way. We will continue to talk about it, because maybe we'll get something done. but who knows? Gary Jacobs, president of Americans for Legal Reform. Sir, you stay well now.
Thanks. You too, Jay.
Appreciate it. Let's keep talking about this. We were interrupted by this pandemic, but it's tough. You know, you got all these hearings and this. And listen, it's a lot that has to be done regarding this.